It is currently 6:14. I hope this doesn't come as a severe shock to you, but it's not raining. And along those lines, I'll bet car washes are going to be busy because I have seen more, including my own, filthy vehicles because it's been raining so much and no chance to clean them up. Highs of 74 today. Right now it's 67, so it's nice. Tomorrow, highs of only 70, nothing but sunshine through the weekend. 74 for a high on Saturday, 78 on Sunday, then up to 82 on Monday. But get ready. Get ready. Next Thursday, 1 week from Thanksgiving, because today is 2 weeks from Thanksgiving. Lows in the 40s, highs in the 60s. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Finally, some cool weather. Not the case for our friend Andy Smith in New Hampshire, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. How you doing, Andy?
Very good, thank you. And as you mentioned, fall's kind of come around here. We were in the 20s last night. So that's not too bad this time of year, though.
Not at all. And I hope you're talking about the temperature, not your dating history.
Oh, no, there's other people we may be able to discuss about that.
Well, that's true, yes, but not... Yeah, yes, exactly right. So, let me tell you, yesterday I was kidding around about Elon Musk and who's the other guy? Vivek Ramaswamy. Two people mm-hmm. being named in charge of the Department of Efficiency, and I just cracked a joke about, two people... That it would seem like something right out of Atlas Shrugged. Why would you have two people in the Department of Efficiency? Seems redundant. And man, I got spanked on the text line. People didn't find that funny at all. Although it was just, you take cracks at the administration, both administrations, right? So the country, even though Trump won with a mandate, both popular vote and electoral college landslide, people are still not too much in a mood to joke, are they?
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because if you can't joke about politics, my goodness, what can you joke
that's
about?
That's the point I was trying to make. That's the only point I was trying to make.
It's fish in a barrel.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me about, I don't know where you want to start. We haven't spoken since the election, now that some time has passed. I was asking you all along, was there anything that was going to be maybe beneath the polls in terms of landslide, or that where a landslide could happen one way or the other? Do you know what turned what was supposedly a neck-and-neck close race into a win of the popular vote? I think it was 75 to 71 million by Trump or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the Electoral College total that he racked up, over 300.
Well, I'd say, first of all, it really was a very close election. The national polls were showing that they were within a percentage point of each other. Battleground state polls were showing a percentage point of each other. And I think what we saw is not really a landslide so much as just a small shift from 2020, and not too different than 2016. The thing about elections is that you only have to win by one. 50% plus one, you win, and you get the seat. So I think this was not so much different as one would expect. Polling, again, the polls, I think, were quite good, except that they tended to underestimate Trump support again, including our own polls. And that I think, is something that pollsters are really going to have to continue to look at.
Let me jump in for 1 second. Andy, could that be because people were hesitant to express to anybody that they really favored President Trump and just didn't want to say it?
There's some evidence of that. There's something called the spiral of silence theory that really kind of points to those sorts of things. People are unwilling to express their support for somebody if they believe that candidate is unpopular. Mm-hmm. But I think there's even more than that. Trump was going around for years talking about fake news and fake polls. And you get a lot of people that just didn't want to participate in that sort of thing, a lot of Republicans. So I think that, but overall, it was a close election as predicted.
Where do we go from here? Let's talk about the step. Well, first off, let me go back to Senate and House. Any surprises mm-hmm. there?
Not really. Again, because it was a very close election, some of those races that looked close just tilted Republican. But I think everybody expected the Senate to be about where it is. Maybe the Republicans gained one more seat than was anticipated with Pennsylvania. The House, holding on to the House seats there, very close, a lot of close races with that. Maybe a little unanticipated, but still quite close. So I think overall the election was a repeat of the last two presidential elections we've had, with just, essentially buzzer beaters each time.
So when it comes to the Republicans now, and we're going to have to take a break here, we'll pick it up when we come back. When it comes to the Republicans having the White House, the Senate, and the House, it's kind of like, in some ways, I don't care whether it's a Republican or a Democratic administration that has all three, it's kind of like a dog chasing a car. You got it. Now what are you going to do with it? Right? So we'll pick it up there when we come back. We're talking to Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Part of that includes, I think, Tommy Tuberville telling Republicans they better get online with Trump's cabinet confirmation. They better get in line and just rubber stamp everything, put it through. Some other senators saying, not so fast, my friend. We'll pick it up there when we come back with Andy Smith, 620 Traffic Now, WWL. 6:24 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Andy, let's talk about, you got it. You know, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. You got the House, you got the Senate, you got the White House. Governing is different than campaigning. What do you do with it now?
Well, H.L. Mencken, who I love to quote, once said, democracy is the art of running the circus from the monkey cage. Well, we got the monkey cage and we got the circus. And I think it's going to be a difficult time running all those things. You know, our government's designed to be slow and inefficient and to compete against one another in the branches of government. So I think you're going to see a lot of Trump's appointees not make it through confirmation because the Senate has their own ideas about how things should be run. The House is a little bit different. That's more responsive to the public. So they will likely be going along with a lot of Trump's ideas. But there's a very small Republican majority there. So we can see a repeat of some of the things that happened over the last couple of years with rebellious Republicans in the House. So I'm thinking that this is going to be a quite an interesting 6 months here as Trump gets his government underway.
Where does the MAGA movement go from here? Because I think my own personal opinion is that this is all about Trump. And I don't know that there is an heir apparent to Trump. Or does this supersede him? Does it follow him along? Because he can't run for office again, not constitutionally. Explain that, if you will, for people that think he can, please, because I know there are some out there that think he can.
Well, there's an amendment to the Constitution that says you can serve two terms, and that's it. So he's not going to be able to run again unless he can put through a constitutional amendment or somehow convince people that the Constitution doesn't matter anymore. But he won't be running again. But to your point about there not being an heir apparent, I think that's absolutely the case. But there are a whole lot of people in Washington that think there are. And those are the people that are going to be entertaining to watch, because you're going to see the little food fights going on and being amped up as those people look to gain more power and try to take over. This real shift in the Republican Party, and this is where I think this is real, that the Republican Party has for the last 30, 40 years, really, you could start with Reagan, has becoming more and more the blue-collar party of the country, not the elite party. That's definitely the Democratic Party now. And there's going that political force is going to be there. Who's going to be the person who can step up and lead that is the next question.
And I guess the question is about the future of the Republican Party. Is it more of a Reagan? Does it go back to being, because, you know, everything, as you once said a long time ago, it's a pendulum in politics in a country. If it swings one way, then swings the other. But from the Republicans only, is the future of the Republican Party from now on MAGA and what Trump has morphed it into, or does it ever go back to like a Reagan-esque kind of Republican Party? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's going to go back to be quite a Reagan-esque party, because that was quite a unique combination of different forces, different political forces. But I don't think it's going to continue to be a MAGA party, because frankly, I think after looking at the appointments that are being made or the prospective appointments being made, it's kind of like the MAGA movement has jumped the shark. We've got so many people here that are been nominated to large federal agencies, very important agencies, both in the U.S. and worldwide, who don't have any management experience. And I think that we're just going to see the monkey cage running the circus, so to speak, again. And it's just going to be, I think it's going to be a, once Trump's gone, I don't think that MAGA really can exist.
What do you see happening with the, and I know you touched on this before, but before we let you go, with the cabinet confirmation hearings?
I think that overall that Donald Trump's decided to get rid of PBS and replace it with Fox News. The people that we've got are certainly celebrities and loyalists of his, but they're not really people who have much experience running big, big government bureaucracies.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate your time. I really do. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, always there when we need him. We'll take a break. We come back, and he'll be here, I guarantee you. God, good Lord willing, both of us will be here in 2028. Andy, come back for a second real quick. The 2028 sure. campaign has begun already, has it not?
Watch what Gavin Newsom is doing right now.
All right.
It's back up and running already.
There you go. Thank you, Andy Smith. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. It's hard to tell from the weather, but Thanksgiving only 2 weeks away. We'll talk about keeping it all a Louisiana Thanksgiving when we come back. Then we're going to talk about some of the challenges that the Louisiana Motor Transport Association is facing with truck drivers. And we'll talk to Will Green, President and CEO of LaBe, about Louisiana's business in a special session. A lot coming up. Stay with us right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.